By, but I didn't know where to direct them to.
Then I start talking, and I go, "Mum, is it Shabbat in England?" She goes, "Yeah, it's still Shabbat." And I was like, "I've got to go, I've got to go." And she and I carried on the conversation for a few seconds, and I just broke in Shabbat.
You have any people.
But I thought if you speak to somebody who's still in Shabbat, she doesn't keep it anyway, but... Yeah, I just didn't want to slam the phone down on her because she wouldn't understand. So I was like, "I've got to," and then I was like, "I can't speak, right." But Hashem didn't be like, whatever, messed up.
Just something, it's not helpful to think about. That'd be funny. I made a mistake, and I'll try not to do it again.
Alright.
That's what you can do. Anything like that's a punishment.
Yeah.
God has a lot of mercy, God accepts for everything.
Yeah, even for breaking Shabbat.
Really. I mean, you didn't really break Shabbat because you heard about Shabbat.
Yeah.
But you break it anyway, you know, so, but, you know, so you're committing that to do it. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That
is
all right.
Thank you.
Riververse, can I ask you a quick question? I'll walk with you if you need to go. I have my grandmother allergic to bees, and I know I have any comments. I've done a couple of different things, and
I mean, that's what they feed us. Like, rice cakes is not enough.
Well, during the week,
I know, but just in general, it's another issue.
Oh, okay, so yeah, I don't know what to do in terms of, but for Shabbos, you know, when you try,
So just suck it up, because I...
So take it, because it's very good, and it's very good, I know that it hurts.
Yeah. What about, like, for Malala Malka, does that matter?
Malala Malka, I think.
If we're going to go with pizza, maybe I'll have a little bit of that, too.
A little bit. If you could keep the amount under control,
I
mean, listen, even if you invest in the oats, you know, you only need a little bit.
Not that you're not going to get it there, but
I ate by this Rabbi Katz's like neighbors like three times now. They're gluten free and they always give me oat bread. It's it's really good. Right. So they know, like, I
can't get yourself over there more often.
Yeah, I've been over there three times. So, but also more serious. I mean, that's serious to me, but on another, it's going to take a long time. So I don't want to bother you with it right now, but in the future I'd like to talk to you about like an issue in my family. And you know my brother's here in center, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You probably have seen him, but yeah, we're brothers, and like I'm 5 years his senior, but we have a familial issue that I don't think he's gonna bring to anybody, but I'm gonna bring it to I brought it to people that nobody knew this issue.
Okay.
So I'd like to talk to you about that sometime. But Shabbat Shalom, Shana Shabbat, always lovely lectures, and
should be good health, spiritual, and physical.
Thank you. Okay. All right, take care.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, the chair's not not private property anyway, but yeah, it would be true. Even if it would be their own chair. But anything that's the yeshiva property, people. Yeah. All right. I guess I'll just a short chair. I wanted to actually go over to some aspects of the machzor that might be helpful. In particular, I don't know if you learned the halachas of the Kiyas Shofar, the Matzias of the Kiyas Shofar. Remember that the Torah says that you have to blow a truah. And the Torah says it three times. Two times by Rosh Hashanah, Yom Truah, which is in Parshas Pinchas, Zichron Truah, that is in Parshas Emor. And then by Yovel it says V'havartem Shofar Truah, which is Yom Kippur of Yovel. It's not in Rosh Hashanah, but the Gemara makes a Gzeira Shava Chodesh Hashvi, Chodesh Hashvi, to tell me that the two of Rosh Hashanah apply to Yovel, and the one of Yovel applies to Rosh Hashanah. So that gives you three truos that you have to have. Now, he doesn't say anything about a tekiah, but then we have another limud that every truah needs a tekiah before and a tekiah after. So therefore, you see that the mitzvah of the Kiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah requires a total of nine kolos, meaning tekiah, truah, tekiah, tekiah, truah, tekiah, tekiah, truah, tekiah. The Gemara then says, we know that a truah is called a yibava, which is a crying sound, but there were different minhagim. Was the crying sound a broken groan, which we call shavarim? Was it a whimper that we call truah, or was it a shavarim truah? So because of that, some people blew. Now there's all you need. If high guy is mazal, then avada, all three would be good. And any one of those three would be good. Meaning it's not a shayla of a suffix lahalacha. Each one would be good. But because of the takanas Rabbi Yavo, he wanted everybody to do the same. So that's why we have three tashrats. So you go from 9 kolos to 30 kolos. Now the Ramban really points out that the counting of 30 kolos is a bit of a misnomer, because how are you counting 30 kolos? You're counting tashrat as 4. But really, tashrat shouldn't be 4, because shvarim trua, see the Torah says trua, the shaila is a trua, a shvarim, or a shvarim trua? And the tzad that it's a shvarim trua, then it should count as 1. So really, you shouldn't have 30. You should have 27, right? Mm-hmm. You should have 27. I got it. All right. Be it as it may, the minhag is we count it as 30, and that's why many rishonim say the shvarim trua should be b'neshima achas, meaning shvarim trua without any hefsek between them, because it's really the definition of a trua. Now all of this is what's called tekiyas de mu'umat. And your Yaitzeh the Doraisa, your Vada Yaitzeh the Doraisa with the Tekiyas de Mi'umat. But Chazal were also Misakein that we should be Tokei al Seder Habrachais. Right, your Tokei al Seder Habrachais. So in Musaf, Malchiais, after Zechreinais, after Shaifreis, you are Tekeya. Now, what's interesting is the way we do it, Machlekes, Ashkenazim, and Sephardim. Svartim do it both in the Tefillah Balachash and in the Chazaras Hashatz. Ashkenazim only do it in the Chazaras Hashatz. So it turns out, the other question is, what is the tsura of how you do it? So here is the thing. In a way, it's kind of reversed, because the original Seder Tekiyas was Al Seder HaBrachas. Chazal wanted you to kill two birds with one stone. They added the Miyushev, what are called miyushev, for the people who wouldn't be able to stay for Musaf. Right, so the mu'umad was first, meaning, so since you needed to be makayim, now this explains why it's done this certain way. The Torah says you have to have a tekiah, trua, tekiah, three times. So they wanted one of them after Malchios, one of them after Zichronos, one of them after Shofros. So it's 1, 1, 1. And because of Rabbi Yavo, each one has to be in three variations. See, I'm just explaining why in the after Malchios you blow one Tashrat, one Tashat, one Tarat. When before Musaf, what you did was 3, 3, 3. But you understand, because the original idea was you needed one of each so you would complete your mitzvah. Now, so that is why, this is Rabbeinu Tam's shita, this is why Rabbeinu Tam learns quite logically that after Malchios it's one Tashrat, one Tashat, one Tarat. After Zichronos, same thing. After Shofros, same thing. But there are other minhagim. There are other minhagim that say like this. They say that once you were Mekayim, the mitzvah of Shofar with Miyushev, you don't have to have all of the different ones. So some Rishayim have a shita, one Tashrat, and you just do one of each. One Tashrat after Malchias, one Tashat after Zichronos, one Tarat after Shofros. Because if you needed to be Yotzei the mitzvah, you would actually need, you know, three of each. But since you're already Yotzei by the Miyushev, so Mimela, for the moment, one of each type is Maspik. And Alpi Kabbalah, they talk about why is Tashrat more Shaykh to Malchias and the like. Okay. So it turns out, though, that since the Stam Minog is like Rabbeinu Tam, this is among Chassidim and Sephardim and Ashkenazim, we're all naive like Rabbeinu Tam. So it turns out that Ashkenazim, by the end of Chazaras HaShatz, have done 60 kolos. Right. 30. And Chassidim and Sephardim have done 90 kolos. Because they did 30 before Musaf, 30 in the silent, and 30 in the Chazaras HaShatz. Now, as far as the Gemara is concerned, that's as far as you walk away with. In other words, from the Gemara, you know you have to have tekiyos before Musaf, you have to have tekiyos during Musaf, and because of Rabbi Yavo, it has to be 30, right? So you walk away with 60 or 90. So what is the idea? So there's only a later idea, which is really from the Mekubalim, that one should be mishtadal to hear on Rosh Hashanah 100 kolos. That is not in the Gemara at all. I think the earliest makar is actually the Shalah, although the Shalah got it from other Makayvis. And the Shalah lived in the 1400s. So the Shalah Kadesh says that there's a mitzvah, or not a mitzvah, a minhag, to hear 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. And that is keneged Sisra's mother. That Sisra's mother was crying for him. She emitted 100 cries. And symbolically what that means is that even the suffering of Rishayim is Ma'ayre Rachamim in Shemayim. And the Rachamim of for the Rishayim turns out to be very bad for us, that we have to counteract and be Mavatel the cries of the terror, no, that we could apply to the terrorist mothers or the suicide bomber mothers or whatever it is, with our own Bechios. And that it gives us 100. And some have another minhag. You want to do 101. In other words, after the 100, they blow a tekiah kedayla. That's a gematria Michael, and also to have one more. So, according to Sephardim and Chassidim, you only need 10 kolos because you already have 90. Right. So all you have to do, all you have to blow after Shemone Esrei, is one tashrat, which is 4, one tashat, and one tarat, and you have 10. You have 10 kolos. Again, this does not follow the Ramban's very logical question that, you know, technically, you know, the Tashrat should be 3, but okay, we count it as 4. Since our minhag was that we're not tokeya balachash, so we have to have 40. So, which means we have to blow 3 Tashrats, 3 Tashats, 3 Tarats, and then, actually we blow the 10 first. In other words, our minhag is in the middle of Kaddish, we blow 10, and then after Kaddish, we blow 30. Okay, so everybody walks out the same. Everybody walks out with 100 kolos, but how much you have to do after Musaf only depends on whether you were tokeya in tefillah balachash. Now the Ramah does bring down an inyan that once you have been yotzei shayfer you don't have to be mitzi anybody else. You're not supposed to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's not muktzah. The shofar is not muktzah because it's roi to take to somebody who needs to hear it. So it's not mukza, even if you don't have anybody who needs it, because potentially there's there. But so the way it works is, before your tokeya, you're allowed to practice. That's called the tzorich. But once you were geimer the tekiyos, and there's no sveikas, the Rama actually says it's usher to blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't say exactly why, but presumably the reason is because it is the normal halacha of not playing any kli shir, because Shema Yisakid kli shir. In fact, the Taz speaks out, why do I say you don't take a shofar in Rosh Hashanah, Shachal B'Shavas, because Shema Yaviren or Dalin Amais? Why don't I say Shema Yisakid kli shir? So the Taz says quite pashut, if Shema Yisakid kli shir would apply to Yom Tov as well as Shabbos. And I'm not going to asher shayfer on Yom Tov, because then you'd never do the mitzvah at all. So it's not shayach to say I'm going to asher Shem Yisak and Klisher on Shabbos and not on Yom Tov, when it's the identical malach. It has to be the gezeira has to be miyuchid l'Shabbos. But it turns out that Hagam that the Taz says we don't asher to kias shayfer because of Shem Yisak and Klisher. The Ramah might be saying we asher stam to kias al Shem Yisak and Klisher. So that's why the halacha is you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah unless it is being mitzi somebody, you or somebody, or unless it is in practice to be mitzi, and it has to be mitzi somebody on that day. Otherwise, it's achana. You can't. I can't practice on day one to blow on day two. I see the Pnei Yoshua is chaylik legarmi. Pnei Yoshua says chaylik on the Ramah. I mean, it's a whole arich. It's a very interesting. Very, very interesting topol in Rashi, but he wants to be mechiach that Rashi does not hold that there is such an iser, and you could be, in fact, the Pnei Yeshua says, it's even merumas in the lashon of the pasuk. Yayim trua means you can blow as much as you want. Yayim trua. Ein lo shir lamaila. Okay, alright. Alright, but be it as it may, that's kind of our evolution of Mea Kailas, but it's very, very clear that Chazal saw a great significance in being mitztarev to kiyas shayfar to the Malchios, the Chronos, and the Shofros. At least B'tzibor. B'yachid, that's not emes. If I'm davening Musaf B'yachid, I don't blow during the Musaf. Even like those who blow Balakash, a Yachid does not blow. But it was seen that the Shofar is a kind of a cry of the heart. It's a form of prayer that's Meilech your Tefilas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's also being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shofar is a coronation. So I just want to speak a little bit about this idea of Malchus, Achronus, and Shofros, right? We know that normally every tefillah of Chag, of Shabbos and Yom Tov, has seven brachas. The first three, the last three, and a middle bracha called Kedushas Hayayim. And Rosh Hashanah, that's also the case for Ma'ariv, for Shacharis, for Mincha. The only, and even Yom Kippur, everything is, even though Yom Kippur has a vidui at the end, but the actual Nusach is seven brachos. It happens to be, for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the third bracha, which is Kedushas Hashem, is longer. But still, there's only seven brachos. The middle bracha, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaKippurim, is the middle. The only Shemona Esrei that has, as it were, three middle brachos is the Musaf of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, where the fourth bracha is Malchios, but that also includes Kedushas Hayom, because the Melech al Kol Eretz Mekadesh Yisrael Yom HaZikaron, and that paragraph Meloch al Kol Olam Kulo Bichlotecha is also the normal fourth bracha.
Okay.
And except we add the Malchios to it, and then Zichronos and Shofros are totally new, a total of nine brachas. So the emes is this. The format of these Malchias, Sechrenus, and Shofros are identical. You have a poetic psicha. The poetic psicha, which is the theme of the bracha, is for Malchias Olenu. It's Olenu. It's mamish, the same Olenu we always say. Is the psicha for Malchias, in which we're giving gratitude that we're Mamluch Hashem. For Zichreinus, it's Atazocher, that Hashem remembers all of our thoughts, all of our deeds. And for Shofar, it's Tonigleisa, which talks about primarily the Shofar of Matan Torah. So you have what's called a Psicha. Then you have a recitation of 10 Psukim. So you have 10 Psukim of Malchias, which follow a formula, 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Ksuvim, all of which are Tehillim. three from the Nevi'im, and then your Chosein with a Pasuk of the Torah. Same for Zechreina, same for Shifras, and then you have a Chasima, Elokeinu Elokeinu Melocha Kol HaOlam, and then Elokeinu Elokeinu Hoseinu, remember, right? And then for Shifras as well, Tekaba Shifra Gadol, right? So you have Psicha, Psukim, Chasima. And after the Chasima, at least in the Chazar Sashatz, we blow the Shifra. So the Emma says, again, I have a big machshir here, but just to mention a few, just a very short hora on each of these things. You have a maha?
Do you like the extra shana?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you. About Olenu, it's very, very interesting. You know, they say with real estate that the most important thing about real estate is location, location, location. So the emes is, that's also true for tefillos. You know, the Olenu, the lowly Olenu, the prayer that we say three times a day. And people rush by it so much. People make a joke that Olenu is tefillos aderech. You're saying it on the way out. And all of a sudden it hits you, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the high points, and Yom Kippur also. And it's the same words, the words written either by Yeshua ben Nun, or some say Ochan, Al Kain Nekaveh was written by Ochan before he was put to death. Al Kain Nekaveh, the Russian Tevas are Ochan. And then it becomes a totally different thing, a person thinks about it. But this is the same Elena you say all the time. So in the Malchios, right, we then have 10 verses of Malchios. And most of them mention the word melech. Hashem is a melech. But it's interesting with Malchios that the last... Well, we mentioned the Nevi'im, Kayamar Hashem, Melech Yisrael, Vodolo, Hashem Tzavakos, Ani Rishayim, Vani Acharayim, Mi Balodai, Ein Elohim, Ein Elohim, Ein Elohim. Besides me, there is no Elohim. V'nemar v'yolu Moshiyim b'har Tzion l'shpotes harezav v'yisol l'Hashem hamlucha. We actually say this every day at the end of Oz Yashir, but it's taken from the Rosh Hashanah. V'nemar v'haya Hashem l'melech al kol aretz v'yomu v'yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. Then I have to have one more Torah pasuk. And some people even have this. Some Sturm even have this in the weekday at the end of Oz Yashar, they add Vissar Rasba. Although I think that is a mistake, they're just incorporating the Rosh Hashanah. Uvissar Rascha Kosov Lamar, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it's interesting that the 10th Pasuk of Malchios actually does not mention the word Melech. Now, in some degree, this is unavoidable. We've run out of Pesukim of Melech. Melech is, Hashem as Melech is only mentioned three times. But Chazal, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that when you say God is one, then you're saying God is supreme. So by definition, that makes him the king of all kings. The Melech, Malchim, and Melechim. So one interesting point is that the 10th Pasuk of Malchios is actually not Malchus, it is Yichud Hashem. Another thing that's interesting, just to point out, is you actually see from the tefillah how they understand psukim, where there's a machlokas of meforshim. For example, the third pasuk, right, the first pasuk of Malchus is Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, which is after the Shira Sayam, as Yashir. The second is from Bilam, Lo Hibit Oven B'Yakov Lo Ram Yisrael. Hashem does not see anything bad in the Jewish people. Hashem Elokavimo, God is with him, with the Jewish people. Usruas Melechbo. Usruas here means the friendship of the king is with him. And the third pasuk is from Zosavracha, Vahibi Shurin Melech, There was in Yeshurun. Yeshurun is when the Jews are upright. There was in the upright nation of Israel a king, V'Yisasef Rosh Ha'Yam, when all the people gathered together, Shiftei Yisrael. So you see from here that Vayhi B'Shurin Melech is describing Hashem, because if this is a pasuk that is Malchuyos, Vayhi B'Shurin Melech, the Melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at the Eben Ezra and some other Mefarshim and Zayis HaBracha, you actually see Vayhi B'Shurin Melech as Moshe Rabbeinu is describing himself as a Melech, that he was Zochet to be a Melech in Am Yisrael. Right? So obviously you see from the davening, not like the Eben Ezra, that Vayhi B'Shurin Melech is going on the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay. But putting that aside though, going back to the 10th pasuk of Malchios, you'll notice, so one peculiarity or one unusual feature is that this is Malchios without mentioning Malchus. The other is a little less obvious, and you only would notice the problem if you compare it to the other ones, and that is the 10th pasuk of Malchios is before the Chasima. After the Chasima, we then go into the Chasima, okay, we'll give a Seinu, Moloch al Kala Olam, which does double duty, because this is both the Chasima of Malchios, and it is the standard fourth bracha of Kedushas Hayom. Because remember, this paragraph is identical to Shachris, to Mincha, and to Ma'ariv. So technically, this is a Kedushas Hayom bracha, that is also the Chasima of Malchias. Okay. Now, we then go into Zichreinus, which is Atal Zecher, which talks about how God remembers everything that we do. And once again, we have our Psukim, our 3:3:3. But here, I want to point out that after you have your 3 Torah, 3 Ksuvim, 3 Nevi'im, 9, you then go into your Chasima, which is actually part of everyday davening, Korbanos. Okay, we into the Chreinu B'Zikaron Tov, remember us. And then we ask specifically to remember the Akedah, remember the merit of Avraham that was willing to sacrifice Yitzchak. And the 10th Pasuk is incorporated in the Chasima. Right? This is the 10th Pasuk. V'kayem lanu Hashem Elokeinu es hadavar shiftachtanu b'tarasecha al yedei Moshe avdecha v'zacharti lahem b'ris rishonim asher hoseisi oisam me'eretz Mitzrayim le'inei hagoyim. So, in Malchios, the 10th verse is not in the Chasima. In Zichronos, it is. Okay, we'll come back to that. And then it mentions another interesting machlokes, when we ask Hashem to remember, so we say, Akedas Yitzchak, may you remember the Akedah of Yitzchak, Lizaro, to his descendants, to his seed, Hayom Barachamim Tiskor, Baruch Atah Hashem, Zocher Abris. Now, you may, if you study the Machzor, you'll see, and I think the article even has it in parentheses, that some are Gores, Akedas Yitzchak, Lizaro Shel Yaakov Tisker. Because here's the problem. You're asking Hashem to remember the Akedah of Yitzchak as a merit to all of his seed. Now Yitzchak had two sons. Yitzchak had Esav and Yitzchak had Yaakov. So if Hashem was going to remember the merit of the Akedah to the Zera of Yitzchak, that might be asking Hashem to give Esav a merit. So because of that, some Rishonim are Gores, Akedas Yitzchak, Lizaro Shel Yaakov, to target our tefillah in an exact way. Others say you don't have to say that, because we know that when Hashem said to Avram, Ki bay Yitzchak Yikara L'chazara, that your seed shall be in Yitzchak, part of Yitzchak, meaning only Yaakov is called the Zera of Avram, and Esav is not. So they're assuming if Esav is not called the Zera of Avraham, Esav is not called the Zera of Yitzchak either, because Yitzchak, but some say not. Some say Esav is excluded from being Avraham's Zera, but he's not excluded from being Yitzchak's Zera. Actually, there are different nusachos. I mean, again, our minhag is, and I think the way Perlman and Dobbins and the way the standard nusach is, we are Goris, Akedas, Yitzchak, Lazaro, but it just wants you to be familiar with the Zaro Shel Yaakov. Okay. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I pointed out that the 10th pasuk is in the Chasim. Now in Shofres you're going to see the same thing. So Rav Soloveitchik is a very, very simple answer. Rav Soloveitchik says that the Chasima of Malchios is the only one that is also a Chasima of Kedushas Hayom in Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. So the Chachamim didn't want to tamper with that, because what you're going to do is, for Musaf, you're going to insert a 10th pasuk, but that wouldn't be appropriate for Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, because that's not Malchios. So therefore, since it has to be the same, so Memela, they put the Chasima, they put the 10th pasuk before the Chasima, as opposed to the other two, which are unique for the Musaf Amida, mm-hmm. they put it in the Chasima itself. Okay. Now, Shefaras is, yeah.
Then they could have put the pasuk for Zichronos and Shefaras before the Chasima.
Yeah, they could have, but ideally, this is what the Soloveitchik says, ideally, we want to use the last pasuk not just as a recitation of verses, but as a prayer. Now the Chasima is the prayer. Please Hashem be melech. Please Hashem remember the covenant. Please Hashem let us hear the shofar of Geula of Mashiach. So that last pasuk becomes part of the prayer. That's why Rav Soloveitchik kindness that even in Malchios, where the Shema Yisrael is not in the Chasima, but it should be connected. In time, again, depending on Chazanis, sometimes Chazanim are mafsik between the Shema Yisrael and the Chasima. It's like as if they're ending. The way the standard Musaf goes is kind of an ending. Shema Yisrael kind of ends, and then they begin a new paragraph. He says, no, it should be continuous in that way, as part of the prayer. Now, when we come to Shofros, so Shofros is very interesting. So it's hard to get a handle exactly on what is Shofros, because Malchios is Hashem's kingship. And Zichronos is our affirmation. See, again, Rav Yosef Albo writes a very beautiful thing, that although the Rambam says there are 13 principles of faith, Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Likorim actually says there are 3 principles of faith. Everything else are branches. There are 3 Shurashim, and other things are another. So he says the 3 branches are Metzias Hashem, that there is a God. Now whether Hashem has a body, whether he's physical, those are prevalent. And of course, in other words, he's not disagreeing with the Rambam. He's not saying God can be physical. But he's saying, if I believe God is physical, I am not an apikiris, I'm not a kiper, I might be a fool and I might be mistaken. As long as I'm maimon in one God who made heaven and earth, the details of what Hashem is are present. That's why the Ravid himself says in the Rambam, the Ravid is a strong Muslim, and the Rambam says God does not have a goof. The Ravid says, Kama gedayla v'tayva mimenu, which seems to mean a lot of people who are better than him think Hashem may have a goof. Okay. So, Metzias Hashem, the second cloud is Shchar V'Yonesh, that Hashem didn't just make the world and forget about it, but he cares about good and evil. Now, so let's say I'm a Jew that believes that Shchar V'Yonesh, but I don't believe in Mashiach. According to the Rambam, I am a kofer, I am an apikoris, because Emunah in Mashiach is an ikar. According to Yosef Albo, of course he believes in Mashiach, that's not the issue. But he said a denial of Mashiach is not a kfira bi'ikr if you believe in some form of Shchar V'Yonesh. If you don't believe in Shchar V'Yonesh, then bechlal, you believe Hashem is not involved in the world, that is kfira bi'ikr. But if I believe in Shchar V'Yonesh, but I only believe in Olam Haba, I don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisah, the Rambam would call that kfira bi'ikr. Rav Yosef Albo would say no. Okay, that's people misunderstand. People often think Rav Yosef Albo denied these principles. Truth is, he doesn't argue with the Rambam on anything other than, that's important, different, is it an ikar or is it an anaf? But he's moida. Everything the Rambam called ikar, Rav Yosef Albo was moida, is true, but he says it doesn't make you a kaifa. So Metzias Hashem, Shchar V'Yonesh,
And the third is Torah min haShemayim, because that's essential. Because even if I believe in God, and I believe that God punishes evil and rewards good, but what defines good and evil? Is it my subjective preference? The New York Times, changing morality? So there has to be a notion that the Eivishter communicated absolute truth. That's Torah min haShemayim. So, Rav Yosef Alpo says, on Rosh Hashanah, we are essentially recommitting ourselves to Hashem's malchus. So we do so by affirming the three ikrim. Malchios, God is my king because he is the creator of heaven and earth. Zichronos, God remembers good and evil, meaning it makes a difference. And Shofaros, he says, is primarily Matan Torah, because it is true that the verses, the Torah verses of Shofaros, are Matan Torah. But the problem is that, you know, Shofar seems to move around in different ways. The Pesicha of Shofaros very definitely talks about Matan Torah. And the three Pesukim of the Torah talk about Matan Torah. This is about Sinai, right? And the three Pesukim of the Torah are all Matan Torah. But when it moves to the Tehillim and it moves to the Nevi'im, it is not about Matan Torah anymore. The Pesukim from Tehillim are about the mitzvah blowing shofar and Rosh Hashanah, actually. Allah lakim b'sru Hashem b'kol shofar. And the Pesukim of the Nevi'im are the shofar of Mashiach. So it's almost as if, to paraphrase Alhazel Charles Dickens, you know, there is shofar past, shofar present, shofar future. Shofar past is Matan Torah. Shofar present is the mitzvah of Tekiah and Rosh Hashanah, which to some degree is supposed to remind us of Matan Torah. And shofar of the future is the shofar of the Geula, the shofar of Mashiach. So when you blow the shofar and Rosh Hashanah, you're both remembering Matan Torah and you're expressing your emunah in Geula. So it goes in all directions. But if you simply count, and again, this is an amazing thing, you know, you're going to run into some counting problems here. Okay, three Torah, everything is working good. V'yibyom ha-shlishi, v'yosef boker, kolos u'brokin, v'kol shofar chazak miyod. Okay. V'hi kol ha-shofar, holech v'chazak miyod, etc. V'chol ha-amroim es ha-kolos, v'es kol ha-shofar. Okay, that's three. Divrei Kachicha, Ksuvim, all of which are Tehillim, all the Ksuvim are Tehillim. Allah Lakim Bisrua, Hashem Bakol Shofar, Bachatzotzros, Bakol Shofar, Hari Lefnei HaMelech Hashem, Benemar Tiku Bachodesh Shofar, Bakesel Yom Chagim. Okay? So three Tehillim. Okay? But then all of a sudden, we bring in Tehillim Kufnun. The very last capital of Tum that we say every day, Halleluka, Hallelukel, Bikadsho, Halu Birkia Uzo, Halu Bikvurosav, Halu Grov Guglo, Halu Beseika Shofar, Halu Bebuchnor, Halu Samacha, Halu Suslesham, Halu Suleshra, Kalan Hashama, Tahaloka, Halleluka. Alright, so this mentioned Shofar, but number one, why are you bringing this in? We've already completed our quota of three Ksuvim. And then we go into Alidei Avodecha HaNevi'im, then we have our three Nevi'im, which all talk about the Shofar of Mashiach. And the tenth Torah one, so one question is, what is the function of this paragraph, Halleluka'el B'Kadsho? Why are you bringing it in? Now, the tenth Pasuk, as you know, except for Malchios, is Nichlal in the Chasima. Mm-hmm. And that's here too, but there'll be something peculiar, that is, so again, this is a location, location, location. This is a bracha that appears in every day, three times a day. But now it gets a special nuance because it's the musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Tika b'shayfor gadol l'cheyuseinu. Of course, it changes the way. Then it's the karu b'zirenu, etc. And then it says, and may we be zocher to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then it says, Kamor, as it says, and this is the 10th pasuk. Uviyom simchaschem uvamoadechem, on your happy days, on your holidays, on Rosh Chodesh, Uskatem b'chatzot, so you shall blow the trumpets on your korbanos, and they shall be to you a remembrance before God. So here's the question. This is the 10th pasuk. Mm-hmm. Now this 10th pasuk is not talking about blowing the shofar. This is a different mitzvah that in the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the Mishkan, there are silver trumpets that you blow. Now it does say tekiah, you are blowing the chatzotras, but the 10th pasuk is not about shofar. This is called shofaros. This pasuk is not about shofar. This is about chatzotras, which were blown. In fact, this pasuk is not about Rosh Hashanah, although Rosh Hashanah is included. Every Yom Tov, every Rosh Chodesh, perhaps every Shabbos, depending on your darshan, they blew trumpets. On Rosh Hashanah, they also blew trumpets, but they blew the shofar as well. So remember, the Mishnah says the shofar was marich and the chatzotras mekatzros, because shofar was the Iker mitzvah. So there is a mitzvah of chatzotras when there's a mikdash, but that's not shofars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you already have two peculiarities here. One peculiarity is the inclusion of Tehillim Kufnun, and the other is that the 10th pasuk is chatzotzros and not shofar. So Rav Huttner gives the teretz. It's a brilliant, brilliant teretz, but it's even after the teretz, it's a little sure. It doesn't completely answer. And he starts off with a third problem. The third problem is that in the third pasuk of the Nevi'im, this is a pasuk in Zechariah, Hashem Aleihem Yirah, that means God shall appear over the Jewish people to protect us. V'yatzah kebarak chitzo, and his arrows against the enemy shall come up like lightning. The Hashem Elokim b'shofar yitzkat, like a victory shofar, and there will be the blowing of a shofar signifying victory. For halach b'saros teiman, and he shall come in the storms of Yemen, meaning it will be like a storm, and Hashem will come in the storm and wipe away the enemy. Hashem tzvakot yagein aleihem, and the Lord of hosts shall protect his people. Now, if you looked in the Tanakh, that's the end of the pasuk. So we then add some words of prayer. Kain togein al amcha Yisrael b'shem yichon. So may you protect on your nation Israel. Now there's a problem here. I mean, this part is supposed to be the recitation of Pesukim. We don't add words to the Pesukim. In the Psicha and in the Chasina, we have prayers. But these are supposed to be quotes. So why do you add the prayer, Kein Togein al Amcha Yisrael Bishlamat? Okay, this is a little, again, may not be the strongest kash, but it would be the second one to know, when the Pasuk seems to almost invite a prayer. But he does say it's unusual that there would be a prayer in certain ways. So this is what Rav Huttner says. Again, it's a little complicated, if I even remember it. He says like this. He says, let's start off this way. Chazal did want to include Yom Simchas Chem as the last pasuk, because even though it's talking about Chatzotros and not Shofar, it is, according to Wadrasha in the Sifri, the makor for the recitation of Malchus, Akordus, and Shofros, because they darshan this way. Uskatem is a remez to Psukim of Shofros. Hayu Lechem Lezikarein are Psukim of Zichronos. With Ani Hashem Elokeichem is Malchus, Hashem is the Supreme King. So since, according to one drasha in Chazal, this is the very makor of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros. So when we finish Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros, they wanted to use this pasuk, even though it is more directly referring to Chatzotzos rather than Shofar, but it is a makor for Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros. And now you have a problem, but we still want to go with the 10. Right? We want to go with the 10. If we want to go with the 10, and this is not a true 10, because this 10th pasuk is Chatzotzos, so he suggests they added took the extra pasuk of Ksuvin to kind of say, if you don't want to count this one as your 10th, then count an extra pasuk of Ksuvin. Now, what bothers me is, if you're mesumek about your pasuk in the Torah, add another pasuk in the Torah. But you want to have 10. So this was put in as if, like an intim saloma, meaning to say, if this counts, then this would just be stam shvach. If this doesn't count, then this would be your fourth ksuvim that will give you 10. But if that's the case, it turns out that your actual 10th pasuk, if you count this as a fourth ksuvim, your actual 10th pasuk is Hashem Alayim Yirai. But the 10th pasuk always has to be a tefillah. You normally put it in the chasima. But this is not in the chasima. So in order for this 10th pasuk to be a tefillah, you have to append Kein Togen Alam Tvei Yisrael Bishlema. This is what the Chukah said. A brilliant, brilliant answer. But again, it's not a complete answer. I mean, if you have a problem that your last pasuk of the Torah may not be a valid pasuk, then the answer would seem to be put another pasuk in the Torah. But this is how he's marachal with this. Yeah.
Is there another pasuk in the Torah that would have
Shofar? Maybe not. Maybe we're in trouble. Maybe that might be it. Yeah. Now the Ramban actually, I believe, has a different gear. So the Ramban holds, you can repeat. The Ramban actually puts in Hashem Eloka Vimo Usruas Melech Bo by Bala. And even though we use that pasuk in Malchias, Ramban says you can use it in Shofros as well. Trua, even though it doesn't say the word shofar, but it's not mentioning chatzot, so trua. Of course, trua here would mean shofar, there it meant friendship. It's the same pasuk. And the Ramban Shita is, you can use the same pasuk for Malchus, the Kronos, and shofars. If it has, but okay. Yeah.
Also, isn't it more than one pasuk?
It is more than one pasuk. So, really, you're only using this pasuk. Harunu b'seita shofar. Now some say, David Drum says simpler, that this pasuk is not at all in the cheshbon of the psukim, but since it talks about praising Hashem in all of these different ways, and it's in Tehillim, so when you finish the last recitation of psukim, you append a general shlach. That's what David Drum says. Okay.
This was taken by the Achat Hasekulah.
It seems to be, although it's not so clear. I mean, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah indicates at some point that Rav may have been the composer, but the particular pasuk are not from Magic Masad Bel, because the Gemara itself indicates you can pick other pasuk. You can do other pasuk. It doesn't have to be there are just rules. You don't pick pasuk of Peronius of Israel, etc. So you don't say a pasuk, so Hashem remembers your sin and will punish you. So it seems to indicate there was actually flexibility in the verses, but we don't really have alternative nuschos. This is pretty fixed, but apparently there was leeway to have other nuschos as well. So now let me just end with the chasima of Shofros, which is very interesting. So we say over here, Ki ata shomea kol shofar. You hear the sound of the shofar. Umazin trua, and you hearken to the trua. So what's the difference? Shomea kol shofar, mazin trua. Ein deinalach, rechata Hashem. Shomea kol, so it takes these two words, shomea kol, and then it takes trua. Truas Amo Yisrael Barachim. So you start off with Shomea Kol Shofar, then you connect Mazin to Trua, then you combine Kol and Trua, and you use the word Shomea. There's a lot of difficulty going back and forth. So there's a Gevaldik Shat from the Prima Gagin, which normally doesn't go on the Machzer or the Sitter. But the Prima Gagin says like this. The Prima Gagin says that the tekiya, which is a strong, unbroken sound, represents the tzaddik, who's pure and strong and very solid in his connection to God. The trua, whether it's the shvarim or the trua, but the trua sound is the person who is sinned and far from Hashem, but he's crying out to Hashem to come close. The trua is the crying of the heart. Now, that's the difference between so he wants to say that kol shofar in astab is the tekiah. Right, so the tekiah, the kol shofar is a remnant to the tzaddik. The trua is a remnant to the one who is crying out to come close to God. Okay. Now, what is the difference between shomeya and hazana? So the Prima Gunnam wants to say, shemiya is karev. When I'm near to you, I hear you. Hazana is when I'm far away and I have to incline my ear. So shemiya is mikarov. Hazana is merachov. So with these two ideas, that shofar is a remez to the tekiah, that's the tzaddik, and trua is the person who has committed many sins but wants to become close, you can now find, and that's one difference, and the other is shemiya is mikarov, and hazana is merachov. The bracha is now beautiful. Initially, Hashem is shomeya, the sound of the shofar, because the tzaddik is close to Hashem. And Hashem is very, very close. Umazin trua, but the person that is sinning, that is beginning the process of repentance, may be very, very far from Hashem. But Hashem kavyochol stretches his ear to hear. V'ein daimalach, and no one is like God in striving to hear even the unconscious stirrings of the broken heart. But when those stirrings in the heart become a kol trua, meaning the tshuva manifests itself in behavior, then instead of Hashem being mazen, he is shemeya kol trua. That's what I'm just about to develop. Now, the question is this. There is a question, and the question is, this does contradict a medrash that Rashi brings. Rashi brings a medrash that says, Shemiya is meirachok, and hazana is bikarov. In other words, Rashi points out that Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Hazinu hashamayim v'sishma ha'aretz." Yeshayo Hanavi says, "Shimi shamayim v'hazini aretz." The other way around. So Rashi brings a medrash that says like this: Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to the heaven than to the earth. So he speaks to the heaven and he says, Hazinu. And the earth he's far away from, Shema, Tishma. Yeshayo is not on that madrega, he's closer to the earth. So it's okay. In other words, according to that, Hazana is Mikarov and Shemi is Mirachok. And then that thought doesn't work. But people kind of says, another madrega would go the other way. That Hazana is to incline my ear because I'm at a distance. Shemiya, I don't have to incline my ear because I'm right next to you. Right, so that's just an example of the type of meaning. If you think about the words of the Maksud, you can see what they are. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Already.
That's exactly why I'm glad we did this tonight.
Okay, so it could be a... Yeah, I may repeat some of it when the study show.
Oh, fine, that's good.
That's good. We should have a team to the table.
Amen. Thank you.
And Hashem should be my father of all your tweets.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
I don't want to wait for Yom Kippur or anything, but I know I don't really want to show up.
Was inviting him to Jerusalem, and he says, "No, I'm not going to listening to Sharing my Charles. So that sounds like what are the things I'm listening to? What are they saying?
Well, the contradiction. Like, what is this? What?
The why don't they contradiction of the Vera
of both? Yeah, which of great delay is that to make this betrayal?
Oh, and then nevertheless, I was talking about one of the guys.